Episode 103 is coming in hot for you all with some new tunes by Grizz, Skrillex, Alan Walker, and many more. Plus, Spotify is pulling some questionable moves for artist royalties, and a big-time Ibiza promoter is teaming up with Rockstar Games on a brand new record label. Let's get right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions of the globe, welcome to episode 103. It is so, so good to be coming back into your ear canals yet again. Wherever you are, I hope you're having a wonderful day or night or afternoon. But I tell you, I think wherever you are, this is going to really make you start wanting to move, maybe groove wherever you're doing, because my man, Bart B. Moore, who, shockingly, I've actually never heard of before, so shout out to Bart, because I haven't really heard of you before, but I came across him, and he just dropped what I have to say is one fine tune. Ladies and gentlemen, take a listen to his track called Libre. Fine tune that gets you feeling fine, Alec. I loved this song, dude. I really did.
Hell yeah.
Really just wonderful summertime vibes all the way around. Speaking of which, let me go grab myself a drink from the fridge. Give me one second. All right. So sorry that I forgot to do that before we started recording, my friend.
All good.
You know, this week, I just need to pair your on repeat with something that was light and refreshing and just really gets you feeling like you're in a fantastic mood. And that's why today I'm drinking a Quirk spiked seltzer, and it's pear yuzu flavor. So I'm really pumped up on this because I discovered this when I moved out here to San Diego.
Wow, there's so many seltzer brands now. It's crazy, isn't it?
Alec, how did you come across this song? What got you feeling amped up on some Bart B. Moore, my friend? Let's hear it.
Yeah, just some like... Well, first of all, have you ever heard of Bart B. Moore? Because I have not, actually, I will say.
The name has definitely come across. I just don't think I've ever dove into his name, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Because I forget how, like, I think I was just scrolling through some... likes some artists had. I think I was looking at some, like, progressive house people. And this was just... I just saw, like, on one of these artists' feed that they had reposted. And, you know, I was so happy to come across it because I needed something that would get me in a good mood, you know? And I just love how you are seeing artists now incorporate, you know, Spanish type of instruments, right? The Spanish guitar in this,
yes.
I absolutely love, like, just the sample and how it goes back and forth between the elements, doing kind of that cool response, just makes you want to move, man. You know, I will say, I nearly channeled my inner Samir because I was about to shake my booty, you know? I was nearly getting there. But I didn't quite get there because I don't do that type of thing.
We'll get you there, dude.
My hips are too stiff.
Alec, you and I both know that your hips don't lie, all right? Speaking of tunes that get you moving and grooving, we got some brand new music on this week's episode of the Beyond the Beats podcast. EDM champions, we are so excited that you are with us for episode 103. Starting it off, big time vibe king right here, Grizz, brand new track called Tie Dye Sky. Let's give it a spin.
You know, man, when I saw that Grizz drop this, I just had a feeling that you'd like it. Just because I know you're a big fan of the tie-dye, right? I
know
you're a
know.
Big fan of that. Well, that's not quite my cup of tea. This song, however, certainly is. And I think it does a very good job of really capturing the name of the track in its essence, right? Like, I don't know why, but if you just try to think of colors when you listen to this song, you would think of something like tie-dye, right? It just gives that feeling. It's got the good feelings to it, but then it also kind of creates that picture in your head as well. So I'm all about Grizz getting back to this kind of vibey dubstep that really put him on the map. So just really good to see that he's back to doing that, and just what a wonderful release.
Dude, loving that, man. Grizz, the king of high times and good vibes, is back with another feel-good wubby track. You know, you call it the call and response. I call it the push and pull here. It's just incredible. And this is what I love about him. He was able to incorporate so many incredible genres into one track. You know, we got some dope disco era vocal samples, some really awesome piano house melodies, the filthiest wubs that make you feel like you're in like 2010, you know, and a little bit of breakbeat in there too in the second half of this track.
Yeah, that's right.
Really interesting combination, man. It really had me feeling like I was back in like middle school or high school, you know, with my lava lamp on in my room. It was so much fun. I used to have a lava lamp. It's true.
No, I'm sure most people did. Yeah,
did you have a lava lamp?
I did not actually, no, but I feel like the majority of people did. I'm the exception. Not that I was too cool for it. I just didn't have it. I don't know. I actually don't know why.
Dude,
but,
come on now. I'm going to get you one for your birthday. That actually just passed. So happy belated birthday, dude. Saying it right here on the pod.
Thank you very much.
Alec, we tease this at the top. Skrillex, brand new track. He teamed up with Noisia, Josh Penn, and Dylan Brady for a brand new track called Supersonic, My Existence. Let's give it a spin.
A very, very interesting release by Skrillex here, because you can definitely tell, and I do respect this a lot, when Skrillex kind of collaborates with people that might be outside of his, you know, go-to genres, that he's able to get them to somewhat compromise on the sound, right? So they kind of imbue together both of their sounds. So you could definitely hear the trappy type of influence that Skrillex has had, but you also hear the neuro influence from Noisia, and then Josh Pan just coming in and just, you know, probably like just sprinkling some magic in on the top, right? Just knows how to really put all these things together in one cohesive song. And Josh Pan really is somebody who could just, I think he could produce anything, to be perfectly honest. Like, this man just knows how to do anything. Like, he is Mr. Creative. And then we've got Dylan Brady coming in. Haven't listened to him before, but I thought the vocals really went along very well with the rest of the track. And just shout out to them for also putting a very nice take on the vocals to match the ambiance that they were creating. So I don't think this was something that was, you know, superbly original for me, but I'm still a very big fan of this track. And I really think they did an awesome job blending all of their kind of, you know, backgrounds and the type of music that they primarily produce together into the song. What do you think?
Dude, to be frank, I was not like blown away. Like, I feel like many people were initially. Like, you know how it is. Like, EDM Twitter was blowing up.
I saw that, man. People were going off about it. Like, it's like, I agree with you. It was great, but I didn't think it was that great.
Exactly. But you know what, man? I gotta say, after giving it a few more listens, I'm starting to warm up to the direction, you know, the layout and the attention to detail here. This probably wouldn't be an on repeat for me. But I will say, it's really neat to see like Skrillex and Noisia teaming up for a track. Like, their influence was both just, it was just felt so heavily, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Dylan Brady, his vocals were incredible. And the way that they toyed with his vocals on the drop was just like a mark of true genius. However, to like really keep replaying this song, I think you need to be in a very specific mood. And yes, I don't find myself in that mood all the time. Alec, you love this guy. You love him. Noizu, brand new track called Middle. Let's give this one a play.
I was wondering when this track was going to come out, because I've definitely heard this being played either in his own sets or other people's sets, but I wasn't even sure if it was Noizu's track when it was an ID. But I'm all about this track, man. Okay. Like, again, nothing too crazy or groundbreaking here. I think he's really found his sound, and I think that's what this kind of song is really there to do, is really cement or rather reinforce the prototypical Noizu sound. Like, this is something that's a good vibe. It gets you wanting to move and dance. I think this is a little bit more of a, and I don't mean any discredit to the song, but it's a little bit more of a filler one that would be in a set, you know, kind of just keeps people moving and going, something they could also sing along to and know. And I think that's really how it was used in his sets before as well. So I'm a fan of this track. It's not something that's going to be my favorite of his, but I'm here for it, and I think it's something that I'd certainly stick on in the set while transitioning maybe in between styles or just trying to keep the crowd going.
Dude, yeah, you know, I got to agree with you. This song didn't really leave much of an impression on me. I actually thought the real winner here is Anika Espach, who is a writer on this song, but I believe she's also the woman who did the wonderful vocals here. And, you know,
oh, interesting.
From a production standpoint, I wasn't a big fan of what Noizu put together, but I did find Anika's voice to be really beautiful. So I really feel like her part of this track was kind of the saving grace of this song. So,
like, just the vocals, just basically.
If I could just get the vocals, you know, the a cappella, I think that'd be wonderful.
Oh, boy.
EDM champions. Speaking of people who just do this shit right from A to Z, we're talking about brand new music from the artists that we're watching. And we are stopping off first with a homie of the pod, City Walker. What? Oh. City Walker? Yeah, my man is back. He's a machine with these tracks. Brand new track called Steel. Let's give that one a spin.
Just because we keep talking about how creative this guy is, right? Like, we constantly bang on and on about this. For does that make sense? Is that a British phrase?
I'm pretty sure that's
about it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. We talk about it a lot, all right? And that is because this guy is just the true epitome of creativity in the bass house. And honestly, I'm going to expand that. He's the true epitome of creativity in the dance music scene.
Yes.
Because here's what he's able to do is bring in like neurofunk influences here, so that neuro D&B style. But he still kind of makes it into this semi-bass house track. Like, I can't categorize it, but I think that's the point. He's living right in between, like right on the fence between these two genres, bringing all these different influences, so that at the end of the day you can't say it's one or the other. You could just appreciate all of its different elements when you break it down, but when you put it together it makes something magical and something very special.
Dude, let me just say right now, fuck a genre, okay? City Walker, he's transcending genres, man. You know, we've been talking about how, you know, he is bass house, but I feel like he's just so much more than that now. You know, his style has evolved so much beyond
City
that.
City Walker style. Like,
it's City Walker.
It's like if I have a folder of the music that I've got of his, I just put City Walker style on it. That's the genre. Like, that's all you need to know.
There you go.
Because that's what it is.
There you go, baby. There you go. You know, what I love is like he kind of creates these dystopian soundscapes that are so erratic, but they're cohesive, you know? And it's really weird to say that, but he just brings it all together, and I really appreciate that about him. Alec, one more for brand new music from the artists that we're watching. We are inviting the Piano House Queen back to the show, LPGOE. She teamed up with Kalina Zanders for a brand new track called Carry Us. Let's give it a play.
man. LP, you know, hats off to you. And to Kalina Zanders as well. She's been crushing it recently, by the
Incredible.
Way. Like, go through her discography. You know, we'll have the link in the show notes, champions, because you've got to check her out as well. She's another queen in the scene. But LP, man, I tell you, like, when we go back and what I think about our conversation with her for our artist spotlight, which champions, as you know, will be in the show notes, so definitely check that out if you haven't listened to that conversation, as well as the mix as well, which we'll
Incredible.
Put in there. But if you remember, Samir, when we talked to her, she was saying how she was really excited about the trend of seeing disco and soul reinfused
yep.
back into house, right?
Yep.
Like, even going beyond just the piano, because we've seen piano house kind of been around for the past 5-10 years, a little
yep.
bit more so, but she's going back to kind of the roots here and bringing in some more of those disco-y type of synths, and then you've got the soulful vocals as well. And this is just, honestly, this is another track that just epitomizes her ability to do that, but put it into a modern format, something that I think all types of house music listeners can dance to and listen to without them feeling like, oh, it's just, you know, kind of like old stuff, like it's just copying what was done before, because that's not at all what she's doing here. She's really taking the best of the past, molding it into something brand new and fresh, and it's just, it's amazing. Like, what a track.
Dude, you know, I just love how you're giving, like, just some context on this incredible trend that we're seeing that LP Giobbe had discussed on the Artist Spotlight session that we did with her. But I also just want to say how powerful the emotions in this track were,
yes.
dude. It was so palpable. You're feeling overwhelmed with the feels when you listen to this song. And I can go on and on about LP Giobbe because she really is an inspirational person to follow in this scene. But Kalina, oh my God, her impact on
this
track. I would love to see LP tour with a bunch of these vocalists that she's worked with, because I think that that would just be an absolutely beautiful show of talent if we ever got that. Dude.
Wow. What an idea. Yes. Dude. Yes, yes, yes. We need that.
Let's go. Speaking of a show of talent, Alec, we just talked about a bunch of incredible talent right here in dance music on this podcast. And if the EDM champions want to get connected with all this music that we just talked about, how do they do that?
Well, you got to head over to our website, since that is where we host the show notes for every single episode. We'll have all of the links to the playlist as well as to these individual artists and their music. So our website is beyondthebeats.co, and navigate over towards episode 103 in the show notes section. And then if you want to reach out to us as well, because you know what, man, like I will have to say, like, we've seen an uptick of people reaching out and engaging with us, and it's so nice and refreshing. Like, while it's sometimes hard for us to get back to people immediately, we love the love that everybody has been showing to us. So EDM champion community, we love you. So make sure, if you're not connected with us, make sure to give us a follow on Instagram. That's at btb.pod, and on Twitter at podbtb.
Love it, dude. Thank you, thank you, thank you for plugging all that wonderful stuff. Let's dive into some brand new news and culture. It's the EDM champion question of the week, and this one comes from Selena in Texas. What up, Selena? Thanks for tuning in with us. You know, we appreciate that support. She asked this: what's something you would like to see more of at live dance music events from an attendee standpoint? In other words, what should attendees be doing more of at shows?
What a question.
Big
Selena
question.
Coming in hot with the EDM champion question of the week. I love that.
Big question.
I need to think on this for a sec.
All right. All right. Maybe I can go first.
Yeah, kick it off. We'll collect my thoughts here. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. All right. I got two basic things here. Two basic things. You know, it's nothing crazy, but I do think that a little bit of extra attention to these two areas when you're attending a live show, whether that be a festival or a club or what have you, I think would really make the experience go a long way for people. All right. And the first one is this, okay? Respect the environment that you're in. I'm talking about when you get a drink or you have a water bottle, right? You finish the water. And what do most people do, Alec? What do? They throw it on the floor.
Yeah.
Come on. What do they do with a cup, with an empty cup of a, you know, there's a plastic cup, there's a drink in it, throw it on the floor. And nobody likes to step on wet, sticky floors, you know? And not only that, it's dirty. It's dirty, you know?
Yep.
We're spending money, we're spending time at an event, we're trying to have a good time. And I think that if we just take the extra effort to take that plastic bottle, take that plastic cup, walk it over to the recycling bin, which I'm sure there are plenty of. Just chuck it in there and then just go back to where your squad was, dude. It's that simple, you know, especially at festivals. I feel like I see a lot of like trash and cups and just shit all over the ground. Pick up your stuff. Just pick it up and throw it away, please. It makes the festival feel cleaner. It just makes the overall environment that you're in that much more comfortable. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is this. Shows can be a ton of fun, all right? But there are always going to be, like, you know, frustrating aspects to, like, going out to, like, a live event, whether it be too crowded, people are shoving, people trying to get past you. You know, some people might forget their manners. They might forget to say, excuse me. Don't sour your own mood based on what other people's actions are. Just have a good time for yourself. Because if you have a good time for yourself, the people around you will pick up on that, on those vibes that you're radiating. And that's a big gulp, because I want to say this again. Vibes. Emanate good vibes. And that starts by letting just simple shit go. You know what I mean? People are in all different states of mind at shows. They could be drunk. They could be a high on something. And they just may forget themselves a little bit. Just take a step back from that. Don't get too worked up on it. Because look, I'm telling myself this too, because I do sometimes get worked up on this shit, okay? And I need to remind myself that, like, you know, I can't be responsible for other people's behaviors. I can only be responsible for my own behavior and the mood that I cultivate with myself and for the people around me. So those are my top two ways to just kind of have a better time as an attendee. And if you take those steps, you're going to make the environment around you feel better for everybody else. Alec, what are your thoughts?
Oh, man. First of all, I love those two suggestions that you have in answer to this question, because I agree with that. So it's kind of add two more on top of that.
Let's hear it.
Kind of. So I've got a couple of ones here. So number one, I would say if you're going to an event, right, and you decide to get into the crowd, don't start texting your friends on the phone. Like, don't start texting, especially if you're like in the middle of the pack. Right. Or even towards the back. Like, if you're on the dance floor, you're not there to text. You know, now I'm not one of those people. And like, I do sometimes have kind of thoughts about, you know, those who always are putting up their phone to record things. Like, that's a hard one, because sometimes it can detract away from the experience for other people. And sometimes it may even detract away from the experience from you. So I think that's a case by case basis. Right. And so I'm not really going to go out and set any recommendations for that, because I understand, like, we all want to take videos sometimes of things. And especially if you try to put it onto, you know, Instagram. And then if you tag the artist, it's good for them. So there are certainly benefits to that outside of yourself. But if you're there and you're just like, and you see this all the time, right? Like, maybe they've just lost interest, whether they're seeing like an opener and they're not really interested in the opener, but they just want to be there, right? Rather than stand by the bar or stand at the back, or they just want you to hog a spot, they're there and they just start texting. And like, I hate that, because it just brings down the mood for everybody around, because it kind of is distracting, right? Like, part of the fun of going to an event is feeling like you're in the thick of it. Right. Like, that's part of it as well. And that's what brings the energy up. And then also, like, you know, the DJs and stuff will notice this too. Like, if a bunch of people are just standing there texting, not really paying attention, then that doesn't really make them feel good. We seem to try multitask way too much, and it's just not possible. Like, the human brain's not designed for it. It really, really isn't. So if you want to ensure the best time possible for yourself as well as your squad, don't be that person that just starts texting in the middle of a set. Like, and if you do, go to the side where you can do that in peace, and just, you know, concentrate on that. Because remember, you're there for the show and the music. So quick number, the second one here, okay? When you are going to said show, right? So in that same position, you go into a show and there's somebody that you're really excited about and you really want to go see. Make sure to get there early and support the opening artist.
Yes, dude.
It's a big, big one of my, it's a big one for me, because that doesn't happen a lot, you know? Yeah. And I get it. Like, I really do. Like, people don't want to get there too early, right? They want to pregame an extra bit. Like, that's fine. And like, I'm not saying that you have to get there like right as soon as doors open. You know, if you're used to going late and only catching the main act, like, okay, take a step back. But just realize what you're doing as well is helping set the vibe for the main artist to come on as well, right? Like, the best shows I've ever been to is when you've actually had a really, you know, rambunctious, awesome crowd for the openers as well. Like, it gets everything ready in the mood, right? And that's the whole point of the opening act, is to warm everyone up. But that can't happen if no one's there.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, again, like, if you're thinking about yourself and that, you're actually going to be cultivating a better experience for yourself, because the more you know, amped up people are before the main stage person comes on, right? Or sorry, the main act, the headliner, the better it will be. And then the second part of that is it really does help the scene grow, right? Like it's a way for these openers to test out music, to, you know, really start practicing and solidifying themselves. And it makes a big difference if the crowd is not with them. So just go and support those local acts because it means a lot to them and it means a lot to the scene.
Dude. Wonderful, wonderful points, man. Oh, I'm in such a great mood now to dive more into this music culture section with you, buddy. Selena, thank you so much for the question. EDM champions, keep them coming in. Instagram at btb.pod or Twitter at podbtb. Or you can also email us, connect@beyondthebeats.co. We'd love to talk to you about it. Alec, Spotify making some very, very interesting changes to their algorithm, and it's causing a bit of a stir. Honestly, dude, I just want to say this must be such a PR nightmare for Spotify because, you know, Spotify for a long time has been catching a lot of flack about, you know, how much they pay out to artists when their music is streamed by the users, right? I mean, it's fractions upon fractions upon fractions of a penny. Like, it's insane. But not only that, but they've also been receiving a lot of flack from the artist community and the creative community for a long time on this. So what was their response to all that? Find another way to pay artists even less through what they're calling discovery mode. So what is discovery mode? Alec, why don't you take it away from me, man?
Well, yeah, so discovery mode is, I believe that that's just kind of what they call the general I guess program, for lack of a better term, for just people just trying to discover new music, right? So it's the functionality where people will be like, you know, more songs like this, or, you know, if you go through on your homepage on Spotify, they'll have like those playlists, you know, made for you, and they're supposed to be tailored and personalized to your listening habits, right? But what they recently have started experimenting, and it's not clear yet because they actually haven't responded to US judicial committees query into this. They haven't said whether it's going to be a permanent thing, but they're just an experimentation mode. Is that what they're doing is that they're allowing artists and labels to recommend songs to more listeners by just in exchange for a lower royalty rate. So basically they're saying if you have a new song that's coming out, right, and you've got a bunch of people who are listening to your music and the algorithm has picked up on that, and when they go into their own discover mode, right, and click on a playlist, instead of just pulling you know, random songs that you've been putting out, it's going to pull out the ones that you prioritize, right? So and by that's where you enter saying like, okay, this is a new song, I'm trying to promote this more. What that's going to do is when you have that interaction, however it might be, I don't know, I'm not an artist, I don't know, it must be some button or something like that, it sends a signal to the algorithm, which will then note that it's of high priority and will, when recommending your songs to people, is going to recommend the ones that you prioritize. And in exchange for that, you're going to be saying, I'm okay taking a cut to the royalty rate that I would normally receive for streams.
That's
so
right.
So this is, I mean, it's hard to kind of spin this any other way than like a pay-to-play system, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how else you could describe this. Like, I could understand, and here's the thing, like, this is where I could kind of understand somewhat, at least to an extent, the argument of we're just trying to give artists more power to promote their newer releases, and the same with labels, right?
Right.
And that is, I think that is a partial truth, right?
Yeah.
But this is why it's a partial truth. They're bundling that into what's supposed to be a personalized listening experience in terms for all personalization. So it's not like, you know, it's limiting it to a playlist that's like, here are songs from your favorite labels. No, it's doing it across the board for any type of new discover feature that you're doing, whether you're going to like the song radio or going to make a playlist like this. It's just bundling it into everything, right? So I would be more okay with this if they were just more upfront about what was going on, or if the playlist was designed to keep you updated with what's going on with other record labels. But it's just kind of like they're trying to sneak this in, right? That's what it seems like to from the consumer perspective. And then from the artist perspective, it's basically being like, look, if you want your new stuff to pop off on our platform, you're essentially going to have to sacrifice some
pay cut.
Because this is going to be the primary way to do it. Now, of course, Spotify's never going to say that, but that's just the reality of the situation and the fact that there's just so many artists on Spotify. It's just, I don't see any other way than this being the case.
It's not like they're not aware of, you know, how abysmal their payout rates are. They're well aware of it. I mean, this is in the
pandemic too. It's like timing is just fucking awful.
I know. And they've been receiving backlash on this shit for years. And I'm fucking upset right now that, you know, this is what they were able to come up with. What sucks even more, dude, is like, you know, big artists can sacrifice taking a little bit of a pay cut to promote their tracks, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, they're getting millions upon millions upon millions of streams on their songs. And in return, they're getting some big, big payouts. So they can sacrifice like, hey, I got a brand new track coming out. I'm going to take a bit of a pay cut so I can make sure that it gets in front of as many ears as possible upon like its first couple of weeks of release. But small time artists and growing artists can't sacrifice that. They're already getting paid nothing as it is. So now, on top of this, to compete with these bigger names who are using these services to promote their tracks, but for less of a payout, artists going to have no choice but to also feel compelled to use that same service as well to stay kind of relevant or at least boost themselves in an already very competitive algorithm.
Yeah, it's really quite shameful. And I do want to note here that Spotify has not responded yet. And they have until, I mean, we'll have to keep everyone updated on this, but June 16th is the date that they have to respond to the Judicial Committee. I mean, they're really leaving it down to last minute here. So they will definitely have responded by the time this episode is out. So we're going to have to follow up on this story. And then one thing that I'm going to do as well for our subsequent podcast is really try to do a little bit more research into just how the algorithms work that Spotify employs. Like, it might be hard. I'll have to do with some sleuthing here because, you know, they really don't have to make this information public, but I'll do my best because I think that's going to really also help us understand, you know, what is the issue that Spotify is potentially running into, whether they even have an issue, and if this is just a straight up, like, you know, being greedy here and trying to, you know, grab for as much. Because on the surface, it certainly does appear that way.
Alec is the algorithm king over there, man. You love diving into that kind of shit.
Oh,
you really
I do.
Though.
I do, yeah.
You really do. So yeah, Alec, thank you so much for keeping us abreast on what is happening with
Spotify. Is that the correct term for that? Is it
that's,
really?
That, I hope
have
so.
Have you been going into a little thesaurus
Dude,
recently?
low key, I keep the Merriam-Webster dictionary right next to my bed. Obviously, I haven't gotten further past the letter A, you know, so.
I mean, that's still pretty good. There's a lot of A words.
Exactly. Alec, one more story for the news and culture section on this week's episode. This is shocking,
bonkers.
Really. But this is
bonkers.
So cool.
I love it.
So let's talk about Circo Loco, okay? Circo Loco, they throw these incredible parties in Ibiza, and they also have their own record label. They throw parties pretty much all over the world, but they're really known for the work that they do on, you know, the island of clubbing, Ibiza. So that's what Circo Loco is all about. So the EDM champions know Rockstar Games for their incredible, you know, AAA titles like Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead Redemption. Mm-hmm. So, you know, And this is a kind of a move that's been foreshadowed for quite some time, I feel like, because Rockstar Games has really started to employ more house music, dance music into their games, especially in like those clubbing atmospheres or like, you know, the radio when you drive a car. But now Circo Loco and Rockstar Games are coming together and they created a record label together called Circo Loco. Fascinating. I mean, Alec, you especially have been talking about this for quite some time about the convergence of video games and dance music. And now this is just another mark on that journey of seeing these two titans in their own respective fields coming together.
Absolutely, man. I think there's a clear synergy here, and they clearly have some. What are you laughing about?
I feel like we haven't said that word in so long. So
yeah,
you
were on a tear for a while.
I was on a tear.
That's like the first time I've said it. Jesus Christ, you've imprinted that onto my my mind's palace of vernacular.
Sorry, keep going.
Oh, but you know, man, like it's weird and kind of shocking, but it makes sense though. Not only because of the way that Rockstar Games has supported house and techno in their video games. Like I remember quite clearly in GTA 4, where you would go to the club and you could actually dance with other characters too. And I think it was Gay Tony, the Ballad of Gay Tony was like
the first introduction of like dance music heavily into one of the games.
Exactly. Yeah. And like it was the DLC, and that was great. I'll shout out to that game. Rockstar is fantastic games.
But, they really do.
You know, they're incorporating it more into their storytelling, which is very, very interesting. And I think that says a couple of things. Like one, they must have some insight into how gamers seem to have this affinity for dance music, right? And on a separate note, I've seen like streamers on Twitch be playing techno in the background, right? So it really does seem like there's a little bit more of that, you know, cultural convergence of gaming and music, not just because people are listening to it, but just the fact that they're both kind of digitally natively produced products and things. I think it just works quite well together. And there's just so much you can do with electronic music. You can match pretty much any vibe or, you know, sequence of actions that are characters in the game are taking, but you can really, you know, do a lot with it. And it has a little bit more breadth than I'd say some other types of music does in terms of how it sounds. So I think that's the number one big thing there, is that they must be seeing that affinity growing. And then number two is when you look at Rockstar Games' portfolio of games that they produce, heavily focused on these, you know, open world role-playing games, right? So you could certainly see how, with everything that's been going on in the pandemic and the rise of live streams and virtual events, and how people like, you know, you got Roblox or you've got Minecraft, right? Or Fortnite hosting these virtual events. I don't see why there's any reason that the next big Rockstar Games release will not have that same functionality and that purpose. So I think they're kind of setting something up here where, you know, you might have like, I don't know if it's another Grand Theft Auto game or whatever it might be. There is a nightclub, like very much how we, you know, pictured on Hitman 3.
Yep.
Right. It's going to be that same type of vibe there, but then you're going to have that added level of interactivity where you might have like missions going on, but then you might actually have real DJs spinning music going on in the background.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like taking it to the next level. And I think that's so, that it just seems to me that's like right on brand for what Rockstar is able to do. And I really think it's going to be massive for them. So that's where I see them taking this.
How dope would it be if Rockstar did a Grand Theft Auto game with like either it's based in Ibiza or like, you know, there's like missions in Ibiza. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, and
like you're just walking the island, you're going from club to club, you know, you're going to Circo Loco parties and things like that. And I can't wait to see, you know, how this actually like is incorporated into their video games in real life. All right, EDM champions, we just ran through a bunch of really cool stuff right here in the news and culture section. Get tapped into what we are talking about. BeyondTheBeats.co. Head to the show notes, episode 103. You're going to love everything that Alec posts on there. My man spends a lot of time on that website. He spends a lot of time. The bags are back in his eyes. I'm very concerned about his well-being. It's because he's always on the website. But we would love to have you guys come and visit us over there. Also, Instagram at btb.pod. Throw us a follow. Say what up. What are you listening to? We want to hear it. And then our Twitter is at podbtb. We've become more active on Twitter, and we want to conversate with you. Alec, where are we going next?
Oh, you already know. EDM champions, we are about to dive into the penultimate section of the Beyond the Beats experience. This is the What Are We Listening To section, where we will rate, review, and discuss in great detail either two tracks, EPs, or albums. And this week, we've got a track and then a follow-up, like an encore EP. Two very different styles. But before we get into that, for all those new EDM champions, what's up? How are you doing? You may not be familiar with how we do this section. So Samir, can you please give them the rundown?
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever going to listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not going to really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Well, I think we should start off with this one because I'm very excited. I mean, Samir's over here. I wish you could see him. He's very excited to talk about this individual song.
You're goddamn right.
I was shocked when he asked me to swap out one of the songs, like, kid you not, like an hour or two before we were recording, for this song. I was just shook by it. So, Samir, why don't you introduce this? Because I'm very excited.
All right. I'm down to do that, man. No worries. All right. So here, the first track that we're going to take a listen to is Alan Walker and Iman Beck. They teamed up for a brand new collaboration called Sweet Dreams. Let's give it a spin. To the rhythm of the beat, ba 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 ba.
I didn't like this, really. I thought it was catchy. I thought it was really good for probably what it's meant to be, which is a radio hit, right? Kind of like a summer with the, you know, in your car with the windows down, kind of just have this on, or if you're sitting on the beach, kind of like having it on in the background. But I think that's really what I would reserve this for, is just something that's going on in the background for me. I thought it was catchy. You could kind of move and groove to it. It's got some fun to it, but it just felt too kind of like a bit cookie cutter for me. Yeah. It really did. Look, it just didn't quite catch me with anything. So I was not that big about this song. And look, you know, I think Iman Beck's done some awesome things in terms of making pop hits, but I really want to see him expand beyond what he's been doing, right? And I feel like this is just playing it way too safe. You know, and I'm not entirely sure where Alan Walker was too much in this song. Like, I'm really not sure, because you could probably just, you know, I'm not saying that he's a very talented person, obviously, but I really am not sure what type of creative impact he had on this song. I really don't, because I would have just, if I heard this, I would have been like, oh yeah, this is like an Iman Beck song. So there's nothing really to critique about it technically. I thought it was just, you know, very well produced. Sounds great, crisp and clean. But just for me, it just was a little bit too of the same old, and, you know, I've kind of heard of this all before, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Tough words for me on this one, man. Yeah. You know, dude, I don't know. Is it bad that I kind of find this song, like, fun to listen to? You know?
Yes.
It is fun to listen to. I do think that feeling will be short-lived, probably, because I feel like there was just no personality from Alan Walker. And also Iman Beck, because I actually feel like his previous productions, even though it kind of sounds a little bit samey, I do feel like his previous productions had a little bit more of an impact. You know what I mean? Like a little bit more refined. Yes. And I just kind of felt like we got a very muted, toned down version of his sound. And I feel like we got nothing from Alan Walker.
It felt more poppy than anything he's done before.
Exactly. Nonetheless, dude, you know, you kind of already touched upon this. It is kind of a fun song to throw on during the day when you're with some friends, like on the beach. And I really feel like this is just going to be one of those short-lived tracks that has its moment to shine during the summertime. And then after that, we're never going to hear this song again. Let's talk about this next guy. Okay.
Well,
Quix.
Oh, love the guy.
Ew, Quix.
I already know I like this song. I already know. It's like, you just hear that and I'm like, yep, I'm on board. I already know.
Dude. Quix, the I Don't Know Volume 2. So another release from him. Really, really, like, I feel like he's just popping out like these incredible, incredible hits, my man. But he just dropped this, and there are 6 tracks on this release. Alec, we got Lighthouse, Uptime, Run Like the Wind, Sandman, and Perhaps. Out of these 5 tracks, which one really left a lasting impact on you that you want us to play for the EDM Champions?
See, that's tough, because like, I really enjoyed every track on this.
Oh,
just,
baby.
Just like Volume 1, which he released in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was like a 4 or 5 track one as well. Oh, man. Let's go with Lighthouse, because I know that's the most popular one currently on Spotify, and I think it's the most popular for a very good reason. So let's give that a spin. Lighthouse. Yeah.
this has got to be the craziest EP that Quix has ever put out.
Oh.
Like, I gotta say, man, like, it's taking a much darker turn than his previous ones. And that's really, really fascinating because I really feel like a lot of music has become kind of chilled out a little bit. No matter the genre, like, it's just sounding a little bit lighter. But I think Quix actually went down a darker road, which I'm actually a really, really big fan of. Like, everything seems to sit in, like, those lower frequencies, which can usually muddy up the final mix. But Quix's production really, really shined here, dude. Really shined here. I loved every single one of these tracks from him, especially Lighthouse, like we just played, and Run Like the Wind. Keeping trap interesting seems to be like Quix's mantra, and he's really living that here right now. But I will say the last track, perhaps, is a bit ill-fitting with the rest of the songs here. It is a really gorgeous song that shows how diverse Quix is as an artist, but I feel like it should have been its own single. What did you think?
I could definitely see that, but I still think it fits well enough in within the EP. But I could definitely see where you're coming from there, because it is a bit of a sharper turn, right, in terms of the ambiance that they're going. But you know what? I don't know. Like, I'm just so amped up on all
you
the songs.
You are amped.
I'm so amped
I love
up.
It.
Like, I nearly ran through my fucking window before,
yes.
Okay? Like, I was just completely rolled up. Like, this has been on repeat for my workout tracks, man. It's not on repeat for just getting me going when I'm feeling a little bit down and need a little bit more energy, because it's just it's got, like, you know, aggressiveness and darkness to it, but it's still fun, right? Like, you know, sometimes, like, some of those darker sounds can just be like, it's almost like too much on the aggression side, like it doesn't feel like much fun to dance to. This is a lot of fun to get down to, and I think even if people aren't into kind of like that harder sound of dance music, they'd still have fun dancing to this. And that's what he does a wonderful job of doing, is still kind of, you know, instilling that energy in people, right? That aggro type of energy, without making it just so overtly that it's more like the only type of songs you want to listen to when you want to rage, right? And you want to be like, you know, work out. Like, I'll listen to this when I'm just trying to get into like a more upbeat mood and more energized. And it's very hard to do that, right? He really kind of walks a thin rope with that, but he does it just perfectly on this, man. He does it absolutely perfectly. And you hit the nail on the head when you said that Quix's mantra must be keeping track interesting, because
he does it.
He knocks it out of the park just with flying colors on this one. I'm all about this EP.
You cannot stop this guy. And frankly, you shouldn't even try. All right, Alec, let's get back up to the top of this section right now. Alan Walker, Iman Back, brand new track called Sweet Dreams. What are your thoughts? What's your official Beyond the Beats rating? Give it to me straight.
Oh, you know, man, this is kind of an easy one for me. Unfortunately, this is just going to be a level 2 out of 5
level 2
background
out of 5.
Noise, because, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, I think as you were saying, it's quite fun to listen to, but it just doesn't really hit anything different for me. So if I'm going to have this on, it'll probably be just in the background.
You got it. You got it, man. I am right there with you. Level 2 out of 5. Just bought tickets. Sorry. Level 2 out of 5 background noise. You know, I can just imagine taking my little Bluetooth speaker with me to the beach, kind of playing this song at a low volume. I don't want to disturb the people around me. You know what I mean? But it's there to set the vibe. It's there to set the vibe. And that's really all you need. Alec, big release from Quix. I don't know. IDK volume 2. What's your official Beyond the Beats rating, my friend? Let's hear it.
Oh, man. You know, we don't do decimals, which is unfortunate, because I think it could be slightly more valuable. It's okay. I've talked about this for 3 years. It's not going to change.
It's not going to change.
He's so hard-headed about this. So
I'm
Quix,
stubborn as a mule on this one. It's not changing,
really,
dude.
So
I'm sorry.
Quix, if you listen to this, it's like, I want to give you higher, but GT, Mr. Rules over here, I can't. But this is a very easy level 4 out of 5 just
Let's
bought
go.
Tickets. Because, I mean, when you just think about how it's like almost an encore, or, you know, really like the couple to the first volume, it truly is kind of something that builds off what the foundations of the first volume, right? Like, it's a true volume 1, volume 2, because I see sometimes people, like, you know, artists will do that, and like the second volume doesn't really seem to make any sense with the initial EP, but this really does. It just builds upon everything that was great that the first volume established, and then it just adds its own kind of little take with that. And maybe that's where perhaps is going. If there's gonna be a volume 3, maybe we could expect something to be a little bit lighter. I don't know. I'm not gonna try, you know, I have no idea what this man is up to. I mean, if I did, then I'd be producing incredible music, but, you know, clearly my brain's not the same as his. So,
dude,
shout out to Quix. He's done a wonderful job. I can't wait to see this played live.
You know, man, I'll just never forget when we saw him at EDC Vegas 2019.
Yes.
What time? It must have been like 4:30 in the morning.
It was one of those ones. Yeah. And he got everyone awake and ready, man. It was awesome.
He crushed the fuck out of that set at Cosmic Meadow, dude. I was so insane. You were the one who told me, like, yo, let's go see Quicks. And I'm like, I'm feeling a little tired, dude. You and me, we're ugly faces, dude. Just freaking trap arms. And that's why I'm giving this a level 4 out of 5 Just Spot tickets, because I want to feel those trap arms again. I want that ugly face back on my features, okay? And I can't wait to see this guy live again, dude. This is such an incredible, sure. incredible release that truly showcases his talent. Speaking of people who are just rising and showing their talent and showing everything that they've got, last section of the show, you guys know that we love to do this shit. And I just want to say, I love, love, love receiving messages from the EDM champions when they tell us that they love the artists that we're watching and the picks that we've selected. Like, that makes us feel so good, because that's the point of this. We want to get you all amped up on what is going on in the underground. Alec, I believe I went first last time, so why don't you take it away, my friend?
Oh, EDM champions. I just love getting to this section about every single week.
Me too.
It's amazing. It's wonderful. But champions, ladies and gentlemen of the globe, I'm going to introduce you to a very fun duo. And I think this song that I'm going to play for you, it just really epitomizes the fun, right? Like, I want you to picture that you're going to a pool party. And I'm not just saying that because I went to one for my birthday, but I think this song, I wish I heard Charmy. He killed it, but he missed out on a trick here by not playing this song. So you can hear it building up in the background right now. And I want you all to imagine that you're dancing around a pool. Everyone's on there. You got people jumping in, having a good time, getting ready for the build up to go into the drop, because you can feel the flow. You feel the groove. I want you to get ready for this insane house drop. This is Your Mind by Dot and Life.
Inject this shit straight into my mind right now. This is such a fun song to listen to.
Also, so much fun.
Big shout out to Dot and Life for releasing this on Hexagon Records, which is a pretty big deal.
Don Diablo's record there.
Don Diablo's record. Thank you, dude. Really, really good one here. What got you inspired about Dot and Life, dude?
You know, man, I really can't remember as with a lot of people how I came across them, because I have my spreadsheet where I just throw in their names when
I come across
them.
You have a very complete spreadsheet. It looks really good.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. There's so many people I've got to get to. So many people. But I was feeling more inspired just because we've been doing, you know, talking about some bass house or some house recently. So I wanted to keep that vibe going by just introducing some people who are really doing something interesting with it, right? There's a very big wave right now going on in the house community. Or rather, there's a couple ones. Like, one will be kind of the infusion of the roots of house and disco kind of going back in there, right? But then the second one is having some really interesting samples, right? And maybe having a slightly different build-up, a slightly different vibe in the build-up, but then just switching over to like a really nice, you know, bass-heavy drop on it. And there's just something about that that's just so catchy and just makes you want to move while also just, like, you know, shaking your whole soul to it, right? And that's what I'm all about with this type of music. So that's what got me inspired to feature them on this episode.
Dude, thank you so much for throwing Dot and Life onto the EDM Champions radar. Alec, I want to keep the vibes going a little bit more here. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Really excited about my pick this week because my artist that I'm watching this week hails from my home state of New Jersey.
Whoa.
So what up, Benoit? I am so pumped up to be talking about, you know, how you take house music and give it this really, really fresh perspective. And a special shout out to Eric from New York City for recommending Benoit to us. Really appreciate you sharing the music that you're into. We absolutely love chatting with you. His newest track released on Tommy Sunshine's record label, Brooklyn Fire, showcases how much variety one can put into house tracks if they dare to be different. I am super impressed with this almost lo-fi feel with some dope two-step. And I'm not sure how many of you all are familiar with like Majestic Casual, the YouTube channel with all these chill tracks, but this would fit perfectly on there. Low-key, but expressive, chill, yet danceable. Benoit brought it all together with his brand new track called Too Soon. Take a listen.
Man, I could not have listened to this soon enough. I'm so glad that you're introducing not only the community, but me to this, man.
Like, I love that.
You nailed it when you were describing this. It's chill yet danceable. And I love that. Like, that's what I love to hear in chill tracks. Because sometimes, right, you might be lacking some of the energy. And that's not to say there isn't a time and a place for really chill kind of ambient style music, but totally. There's also a place for where you still need a little bit of energy, right? And I think it's almost like the Swiss Army knife of, you know, chill tracks. It could be used in so many different scenarios and for so many different purposes.
There you go.
All about this. Shout out to Benoit, man. You're killing it.
Shout out to Benoit and shout out to Eric once again from New York for sharing
Eric, you're the man. I love it when he loves chatting with us, and I love it too, man. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. EDM champions, thank you all so much for joining us for this week's episode of Beyond the Beats. Episode 103 is in the books with you all. Before we go, I just want to say to you all real quick, we have seen an uptick in support for what we do here at Beyond the Beats. And that is something that Alec and I genuinely, genuinely appreciate because, you know, doing this and everything that we have planned for the future, it takes a lot of work. And what makes it all worthwhile is getting connected with you all and hearing your feedback and hearing how much you enjoy what we put out. That keeps us motivated to keep going. We'll see you all next week for episode 104. Stay locked in, be kind to one another. Take it easy.